Adventures in Research. A woman's life has become one of dignity and comparative ease, thanks to the miraculous labor-saving devices that science has provided for the efficient operation of her home. Time was only 150 years ago when a woman raised a large family, ran the home, and endured long hours of exhausting work without the benefit of electric ranges, refrigerators, washing machines, vacuum cleaners, and the 1,001 modern-day inventions that make a woman's life easier and happier. Time was when a woman had to face the drudgery of pioneer life with only her two hands and a strong will. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science, produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today bringing you the story of Maria Coventry, a pioneer woman.
My name is Maria Coventry. I was born in 1840 in a little town in Vermont. My father was a wealthy manufacturer, and he loved to entertain his friends. I had every luxury that a girl my age could want. But my real desire was to marry Clayton Coventry, a hand at my father's mill. Clayton was a hard-working boy, but my father wanted me to marry among our own class. So I had to meet Clayton secret-like when my folks wouldn't miss me.
Mariah, I thought you'd never get away.
Oh, Clayton, I don't dare stay long. Father never took his eyes off me the entire evening.
Mariah, don't go back.
What do you mean, Clayton?
I spoke to Parson Rabb. He's waiting for us right now.
Us? Married? Tonight?
Tonight. And by tomorrow's sunup, we'll be heading for Illinois.
Illinois?
I got a letter today from my brother out in Peoria.
Oh, Clayton, I don't know what to do.
Do what's in your heart, Mariah. I know it won't be easy. I can't give you the luxuries your father can. In Illinois, life will be hard. We'll have to build our own home from the ground up, build our own furniture and utensils. We'll have to work from sun up to sundown. But I promise you, Mariah, it'll be a full, good life. What do you say?
Say? Why, we mustn't keep Parson Rabb waiting. It was a long trip from Vermont to northern Illinois. We went by boat as much as possible, then by ox cart over mountains and plains.
Mariah, see that hill? Let's build our new home up there.
Oh, Clay, couldn't we build down in the valley?
Nope. We're going to build out in the sunshine, where it'll be warm and healthy for our children to play. Go on there, you slowpokes. Go on. Can't you see we're almost home now?
And build we did, right up on top of the hill. It was a beautiful spot in a grove of trees. Of course, there were lots more trees than nowadays. We cut them down to build our log cabins. All the men neighbors came to help, to cut down those big trees, to make them into logs, then split the logs into boards. We women folk couldn't help much with the hard labor, but we did cook up good hearty meals that the men loved.
The meat should be about ready, Mariah.
It smells good to me, Mrs. Jones. Of course, I never did much cooking back home in Vermont. Thanks for showing me.
Oh, land sakes, child. Won't be long before you'll know all there is to it. Get your man to build you a good fireplace with a chimney that'll draw. Use hardwood. That gives the best coals. You know, food tastes better when cooked over coals. Now make sure your iron pots hang right over the hottest coals, and that's all there is to it.
Oh, Mrs. Jones, I feel so helpless.
Oh, don't let it worry you none, child. Life is pretty hard out here, but put your back to it, and with the help of the Lord, you and your man will pull through somehow. You men, drop your work. Supper's ready.
In late fall, we moved into our new home, our cabin. For the first time, I learned what a woman's place was in making a home. I had to make candles for light, the soap from fat and lye ashes. I learned to spin to make cloth, to tend chickens and feed the pigs, to make my own clothes and Clayton's, to cook and pump water from the well, to cut wood. Yes, and tend babies. A family of 10 young ones was common hereabouts, and children brought more problems.
I guess we'll have to make the garden a mite larger next year, Mariah. All these small mouths to feed, we'll be needing lots more food.
The more children, the more garden. The more garden, the more work.
I know, Mariah. Back in Vermont.
Back in Vermont, Clayton. I was just a pampered, lazy girl. Now I haven't time to worry about dances and dresses and such. I have a rich life now, Clayton.
Bless you, Mariah.
And then my life that seemed to be running so smoothly suddenly changed. It was the Civil War. At first I convinced Clayton that we needed him at home. But by 62, he began to worry.
It's like the president says, Mariah. A house divided can't stand. This war was supposed to last 3 months. Now look at it.
But Clayton, what will happen to me and the young ones? Who will run the farm?
I won't go till after harvest. The war won't go on, Mariah. I'll be back for spring planting.
I pray so.
You see that I got to go, Mariah. It's my duty.
Yes, I suppose it's your duty. Two long years he was away. Two long years. And I, the woman of the house, planted and harvested the crops, same as all the other women whose men had gone away to war. And then one day, Clayton returned.
Mariah! Mariah! Oh, you look wonderful.
Oh, Clayton. I'm so happy, I don't know what to say.
When I was out there, I wondered how you were getting along back here alone on the farm, Mariah. And now that I'm back, I'm afraid I won't be much good. Not much help.
Don't you worry, Nun Clayton. We'll manage. And so it was. My husband came back from the wars, but not like he left. Somewhere out there, a bullet ruined his left arm, and he had to leave part of it behind. And life took up where we had left off before Clayton went away. The children grew bigger, and the house had to be enlarged. This time we got fine boards from the mill at Solon, and we didn't need neighbor help. No, we had our own help right in our own house.
We haven't much more to do, have we, Father?
Nope, son. Next time this week, we'll be living in our new house. Mighty fine-looking house it is, too, if you ask me.
Yes, a fine one it was, with both a front and back door to it, and large windows in every room that let the sunshine pour in. Yes, it was a fine house. But Clayton didn't enjoy it for very long.
Mother, With Dad gone, I guess it's up to me to carry on now.
Yes, son. Your father would want it that way. It's your farm now.
Don't worry, Mother. I won't disappoint you. We'll spread out a bit and clear out more pasture land and put more under cultivation.
More land, William? Are you sure you can handle it all?
It's easy today, Mother. Why, with all the new machinery coming in, farming's getting easy.
Ah, machinery. Reapers, harvesters, mowers. No more strained backs using the sickle. Soon even the scythe was set aside. Yes, life was changing, and fast. Then one day, William came home and told me.
Mother, this is Ellen.
How do you do, Mrs. Coventry? I hope you don't mind about William and me.
Mine? Of course I don't mind, Ellen. William had to get married sometime, and I'm real glad he picked a nice, pretty girl like you. And you look real strong and healthy, too. Even then, a woman had to be strong and healthy. There was still plenty of hard work to do. The chickens and the livestock and the milking. But then there were compensations. Kerosene lamps now, no more candlelight. Trains bringing in things like shiny new dishes and store-bought cloth. We women went more and more into town, shopping in the general stores. But we still did our own canning and took care of the garden. There were schools now for the children. They were getting educated, their heads filled with new ideas. And one by one, my children grew up and left the farm.
But, Mother, we've got a fine house over at Woodstock. In the wintertime, we have steam heat, and you wouldn't have to hug that old coal stove to keep warm. What do you say? Come live with us.
But I didn't want to leave the farm. I was getting along. And the farm was the only home I knew since leaving Vermont. My eldest son, William, was running the farm, and his wife, Ellen, had sort of taken over.
Now, Mother Coventry, you needn't go out. Let the children hunt the eggs and hoe the garden. You stay by the fire and keep warm. Don't forget, you're not so young anymore.
She was right. I was getting along in years, and the years were flying, flying. And then another president said that we had to go to war to save our democracy.
But, Pa, I feel it's my duty.
Well, I haven't anything against your going, John, but... Well, who's going to help me run the farm?
Oh, Grandma ran it all alone when Grandpa went away. You told me so yourself.
Yes. I guess I'll have to manage without you, son. Go in and explain to your mother.
He went off like my Clayton did. And the day came when he, too, returned. No, he didn't lose any arm. But he coughed something terrible. Gas, they called it. But we finally got him better. Lots of sunshine and fresh milk and vegetables. But John never seemed to have his grip anymore. He tired quickly working in the fields. And pretty soon he came to his father.
The government has offered me a chance to study, Dad, and I thought maybe I'd better study mechanics or engineering. Engineering's becoming more and more important every day.
And John was right. Everywhere you looked, you saw its results. Milking machines and pumping machines, automobiles and tractors, and newfangled inventions like telephones and electric lights and goodness knows what else. Every day it was something new. Yes, a way of life gradually fading away. A life of handwork and long hours changing into another way of life made easy and comfortable by the blessings of new machines and power to run them. Yes, my old eyes saw it all the miracles of modern science that made a great industrial America. I saw them all come to pass.
And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to the Armed Forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.